Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. For the past, you're not going to believe this, some of you, but for the past 11 years, including this year, I have given a Mother's Day biography of a woman in the church. She didn't have to be a mother, but she did have to be a woman to qualify. And I've done that for several years. No guarantees that we'll do it every year. In fact, I've been increasingly thinking that I need to take a break from doing that, unless you get traditional on me. Start looking forward to that. But this would be our 11th or 12th time. Those series are on our website at sermonaudio.com, and to be honest with you, they are one of our more popular series. It's quite amazing that at Mother's Day time, the downloads of those messages go up a lot for that, and we're thankful for that. We've discussed people like Sarah and Esther and Ruth and Abigail and Priscilla and Tabitha, what's her other name? Dorcas, okay. And we've talked about them, and we talked about Anna as an honorable widow. And last year we took a look at Eve, and what is Eve known for? Every time you think of Eve, you think of her sin and being deceived by the evil one. Now, what I try to do with this is I try to pick a lady out of our Bible. And what I am looking for is the single quality that the Holy Spirit puts his finger on in their lives that the Lord wants us to notice. Now, granted, in some cases, that is very subjective. Okay, especially if you're talking about someone that is mentioned a lot. I think of our Father's Day message. I did one on David. Well, you could give lots of qualities about David down through his life. So what I do is I look at every instance in the Bible where this particular woman or man is mentioned, and I try to discern what is the main quality of the Lord that this woman is reflecting to us. I do something similar with funerals, in that I look for the single quality that the one who has passed on to the Lord has been reflective in his life. And I usually confine that to good qualities. Sometimes you have someone, their lives have not been honorable to the Lord. And in that case, I do try to find something there that is reflective. And almost all the time, I've been able to find something in their lives, especially if they're converted people, that we could point to. So let's read Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to read one verse here, verse 31. We will be looking at some other passages of Scripture. And let's settle down and try to see what that single quality would be that the Lord would have us to note. We note that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Scripture says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Now, right away, what we notice is where the verse is located. It is located in chapter 11, and if you have been raised in any form of Bible-believing church, normally we look at Hebrews 11 and we call it the Hall of Faith. And so what you have down through this chapter, beginning in verse 3, is that common phrase, by faith or through faith. You'll see it in verse 3. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, and all the way down through the chapter, everything that he is mentioning here, he is mentioning that these individuals or corporate body did this how? By faith. Here's a second thing that we need to note as we begin to look at this. When the Bible talks about faith, believing, trusting, it uses those types of words, It is talking about believing an objective truth about God. Now, what I mean by objective is this. It is written down in your Bible about God. This isn't something that's subjective. Sometimes people will say, well, you're in a hospital situation. Maybe your child is ill. Maybe it's serious. And you're praying to God that God would heal that child. And that's a perfectly acceptable prayer. And you say to yourself, well, I know he's going to answer because I'm having faith in God. Well, you don't have a verse that says that God's going to heal your child, do you? You do have verses that say God will heal. But he also could not heal. Right? He could heal by not healing. And so that's not really faith. That is you hoping for an outcome and calling it faith. That is subjective. But when the Bible talks about faith, it always refers to in an objective fashion. In fact, if we took time to look down through Hebrews 11 and look at every one of these situations, you will find that in every situation but one, the person is doing what they're doing because God spoke to them about it. So they are basing their faith on the written revelation of God. So this is what Rahab has done. Look at verse 31 again. By faith, the harlot Rahab, that's the individual that we are looking at. And how is she characterized? She was, in her past life, a what? She was a prostitute. She was a lady that did not keep herself pure. And in fact, she gave and used her body for profit. Whether that was monetary, whether that was a place to stay or food on her table, she used her body for profit. That was what characterized her life before she came to know who? Before she came to know the Lord. And I'm so thankful that God saves people like that. He saves people such were some of us. Okay, you may not have been a prostitute, but we definitely used our physical bodies to profit us, didn't we? In a lot of ways. And so this woman is known as a harlot. She is known as a prostitute. And that what she did by faith, meaning based on the revelation of God. And she believed that revelation. And what happened, look at verse 31 again, is that she did not perish with the people of Jericho. So we could say this, that what delivered her was the Lord. And he delivered her because of her faith in what God has said, in the revelation of God. And so what we know here, this is an important woman. In fact, in our Bibles, as we read this morning, that woman is given not only a whole chapter, she is spoken of also in Joshua chapter 6. So she's just not given one verse. She's given a whole circumstance and series in what she did by what? By faith before the Lord, believing that revelation of God. So what we know here, look at verse 31 again, is that she did not perish with them that did not believe when she received the spies with peace. So what she did by faith. And number one, we understand from this that she did not perish. Why did she not perish? Because she received the what? The spies in peace. Now, let's go over a couple of pages in your Bible to your right and turn to the book of James. James is the very next book there in your New Testament. And I want you to turn to James chapter 2 because Rahab is mentioned here also. And look down at verse 25. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had what? Received the messengers and had sent them out another way. So what we're doing is we're just looking at the passages that deal with this woman, and what is the thing that at this point twice has been brought up about this woman? She did what to the messengers? She did what to the spies? She received them. How did she receive them? By faith. This was, as James would write, this was an evidence of a genuine faith in her life that was expressed when she received the spies into her home and sent them out another way. So that is why I've entitled the message, Rahab Welcoming God's Men. That's what the word receive means. She welcomed them into her home, didn't she? So let's go back to Joshua chapter 2, what we had for our scripture reading. And let's just pick up and look at what is going on here with this woman. Joshua chapter 2. And what we have is the commissioning of Joshua has already occurred. He is, in verse 1, going to send two men out to spy the land secretively. And so the moment he did that, our minds go back 40 years before that, when at Kadesh Barnea, Moses also sent spies into the land, one of every tribe. And when they came back, they brought a what kind of report? They brought an evil report. Now, what made the report evil? Well, it wasn't what they said, because what they said was right. They said there are what in the land? There are giants in the land. Was that true? They said that we are in their sight as grasshoppers. Was that true? That was true. Were there difficulties? Were there walled cities? All of that was absolutely true, and that was the report that they gave. What made the true report evil? Because at the end of the report, they did not say, but the Lord has given us the land, because God had verbally communicated that revelation to them. They did not believe the revelation of God, what God has said. And so that turned the true report into a evil report. And brother, I just want to encourage us in that thing. You can say the true thing and still be speaking evil. And normally we just think, well, if it's the true thing, then it's the true thing and I'm being truthful. Well, you can say the true thing and it'd be what? It'd be an evil report. And so they come back, they make that evil report. God says, well, don't go into the land, I'm not going to give it to you. And they say, oh no, we're rebellious, we're going to confess it. And then they say, we're going to go into the land anyway. Moses says, don't do that, the Lord is not with you. They're still rebellious, right? They were rebellious at the first, and they're rebellious after they confessed their rebellion. And they were routed out of the land. And they spent another 40 years walking around the wilderness. And that included Joshua. Joshua is Moses' assistant. And so now Moses is dead. He's with the Lord. And Joshua now is saying, okay, I want to go view the land in Jericho, and I'm not sending 12. Okay? I'm going to send how many? I'm going to send two into this land. Now, he may not even thought what I just gave to you, but I would suspect, him being a human like we're a human, that he would have remembered that from 40 years earlier. So he goes in, he sends the spies, they go out. Look at verse 1 again of Joshua 2. He tells them to go view the land. They obeyed. They went, and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Now, in our Old Testament, it wasn't unusual for places, you know, they didn't have a Holiday Inn. They didn't have a Comfort Suites. You know, when you went somewhere, you had to find hospitality where? In people's homes. And of course, there were places like taverns and places where people would go and try to find lodging. And of course, we know from our Old Testament that sometimes you can't find lodging, right? Just like Mary and Joseph couldn't find lodging. And so they would stay out in the streets and they would say, no, don't stay out in the streets. It's too dangerous for you to be out here. Come and stay with me. And there was that element of hospitality. We don't do much of that today. I can't remember the last time somebody knocked on my door and said, I'm a believer. Can I lodge here? What would you think? You'd be petrified. We've been so scared by the media, we'd be petrified about something like this. And so the two men go into that house and they lodge there. And as they are there, as they enter into Jericho and they come into the inn, I'm just going to say the inn, the place of hospitality where they could stay. Evidently, there were some people there inside that inn that recognized who they were. And they took that report, look at verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither when? Tonight, so they left pretty much after they recognized this, of the children of Israel to search out the country. And so here these men enter into this home, and they come in, and they're recognized as strangers, and there were men there that knew this, and they made a report to the king. But prior to that report, Rahab had hid them. And so you'll see that in verse 4. The woman took the two men and hid them and said thus. Okay, so she had recognized evidently when these men left, she recognized who they were. She speculated on where they were going. She took the men, she hid them, and she was making preparations for when, you know, the soldiers came back and said, bring these two men to her. And so when those soldiers came back, in verses 4 and 5, you know what she did? She deceived them. Now, I want us to note here something about this. Rahab did what she did based on the revelation of God, but God did not approve of her lying. Right? She didn't lie by faith. Right? Okay? Did she receive the spies by faith? Did she send them out another way by faith? Yes. She did all that, and she hid them in the flax by faith, but her lying, she did not get that from anywhere in the Bible or a revelation of God. Now that teaches us something too, doesn't it, Christian? That there are occasions where we do what we do based on what the Bible says. But sometimes in the process, we sin. I can't always, when I read this passage, I think of some of you may be familiar with Corrie Ten Boom, who hid the Jews during World War II. And one day the Gestapo came in and they were all there and everybody went and hid and all this. And the Gestapo guy says something like this. He said, all right, where did you hide those Jews? And everybody was like, and Betsy, who was always honest, said, they're under the table. And they were under the table. There was a trap door under the table. And if they would have removed that table and looked in that trap door, that lo and behold, all the Jews would have been down there. And the guy just kind of shoved it off as an impossibility and went on. Now, she could have said they're under the table and God would have allowed them to find them. Okay, so someone says, well, this is the only way she could have done it. No, you don't know that. And And so here she is. She deceives them and tells them, verse 4 and 5, she says, well, there were some men that came unto me, and I didn't know their origins. And so it came about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And where they went, I don't know. But if I was you, how you like this encouragement? I would get out there and chase them, because you might overtake them. And so what she had done is that she had hid them up in the upper chambers of the house. So they go running out, and she goes up to the roof where they're at. And this is prior to their laying down to sleep. You'll see this in verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. So there they are, they're on the roof. Okay, and so before it was time to lay down, she goes up there, and evidently she hides them in the flax. Okay, so takes all that roofing material, as it were, and covers them over, and there you what? There you, I wonder if they slept. But there they were, up there. And so she arrives at that roof of the house prior to their laying to sleep. And so what we have here, and this is the point that the scripture is bringing to our attention, what we have here in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, is her confession of faith in the Lord. Now this is very important, because what we know from Hebrews 11 is that she received the messengers how? By faith. What was she believing? James says she was declared righteous by her works. Okay. What does that mean? When did she get converted? Well, the Bible's going to tell us that. So let's look at verse 9. She says unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. That's a wonderful confession of faith. Now, what do we know about that confession? Number one, there was a point in her life where she heard the works of God and the revelation about God. When did that occur? Well, look at verse 10. What did she hear? She had heard how the Lord had what? He had dried up that river. Brethren, do you realize how the news report went out into all the world when that occurred? If you think communication is fast today, it was fast for this. Now, it wouldn't have been seconds, and it wouldn't have been microseconds because of the internet, email, news reports, but I can guarantee you, it went through all the world, as it were, in that Middle Eastern countries, what God had done. And in fact, God had said to Moses that He was going to make His power known through the destruction of Pharaoh into all the world. This woman on the other side of the Jordan, she had what? She had already heard of this. Not only had she heard of that, verse 10, but she had also heard what Israel had done unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan. So she had heard something that had occurred how many years before this? Some 40 years before this, she had heard about this. Whether it was 40 years ago, whether it was 20 years ago, I'm not sure exactly about her age, but she had heard of this report, and she had heard that it was the Lord God of Israel that had done all this, and she had heard that report, and she had believed it. And she had heard what Israel had done to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side. I wonder if she had heard about Balaam. I wonder if she had heard all the maneuvering that had gone on, all the gathering of the men, and how Israel had utterly destroyed them. And the result of that, the combination of what God had done in Egypt through the Red Sea, in combination to what Israel had done to the two kings of the Amorites, verse 11, when they had heard both of those things, what happened to their courage? It died. It died. Verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of what? You. So here's a woman who had heard a news report. The news report was accurate, right? In that news report, there was revelation about this great God of Israel. And her heart did melt, and she did fear. But she did something with that fear. She believed what the news report said about God. Look at verse 12 again. Verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now note this last phrase. For, here's why. The Lord your God, He is what? He is God in heaven above, and not just there. He's God where? On the earth. In other words, we would word it this way as believing people. He is Lord of all. He's Lord in the heavens. He's Lord on the earth. He's Lord in the mountains. He's Lord in the valley. He's Lord, and He is the only God. Rahab came to that determination. And brethren, when she came to that determination, she came to know the Lord. She believed in the God of Israel because of a news report about what God had done to Pharaoh and what God had done to the two kings on the other side of the Jordan. Now, frankly, to me, that's encouraging. And the reason why it's encouraging is because increasingly, Bible believers are more and more in the news. And God can certainly take the destruction of a Gentile king in his severity and show mercy to a prostitute in Jericho. Amen? To the Pharaoh, severity. To the prostitute, mercy. Behold the mercy and severity of God. And so here she is. She is now a believer. She heard of the works of God. The whole land had heard of these works. Evidently, she's the only one in the land that responded by believing the revelation about God. She believed that, and her belief is being confessed to those messengers, those spies that she had hid them. So when they came into the land, she must have recognized them, and she received them into her house. Why? Because their God is the God in the heavens, and their God is the God of the earth. He's the only God. And she's going to say that this God has given them the what? The land. And she believed that. So when they came in, based on that revelation, when those strangers came in, and she recognized them as being from the nation of Israel, and that they're the ones that are coming into land, because she believed in the God of Israel, the one of heaven and of earth, and that God had gifted to Israel this land. She believed that revelation. What did she do to the messengers? She said, come on in. And based on that revelation, she hid the messengers. And based on that revelation, she sent out the messengers another way. All of that was by faith. And so what we know is this, that all the inhabitants of Jericho and all the land heard about the works of God. Every one of them had an opportunity to believe the revelation of God. And how many believed? I'm going to say at least this one, but it was so small, right? One. Now I want to ask you a question. What would have happened if Rahab had professed faith in Christ or in the Lord, but she had not received the messengers? In other words, if you say, okay, I'm professing faith in the God of Israel, but here's the messengers, and yes, I'm telling you, I believe that God's given you the land, but you know, this is kind of dangerous. You know, receiving these people into my home, I mean, I'm putting my whole family at risk. Is that right? I mean, I could lose my livelihood, they could put me in prison, the soldiers could come and kill me. You know, what if she's thinking about all this and say, well, you know, I do profess faith in the God of Israel, so, you know, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm not going to receive the messengers because that would be too dangerous. What do you think about that? Well, James says this. James says that she gave evidence of a genuine faith when she received the messengers. So what would be I'm going to make up a word here, I'm going to say ingenuine or ungenuine faith. She would not have received the what? And she would have perished. Everybody see that? James isn't saying she got saved because she hid the messengers. James is saying she's giving evidence of a faith she already had in receiving the messengers, and it was the works that flowed out of that faith that showed that she had a genuine faith. In other words, if she would have professed a faith but did not hide the messengers, she would have been exactly what Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, when Paul wrote to him and said, they profess to know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable unto God. Right? And so, brethren, that really is the lesson for us as we're looking at this. What we know about Rahab is this, that the quality that the Holy Spirit puts on her to bring out about her is that she received or welcomed God's messengers into her home. Not only that, but did she obey the messengers? They told her, put this scarlet thread out there. You do that, bring your whole family into the house. And if they're in the house, then they'll be safe. And because you showed us kindness, we'll show you what? We'll show you kindness. That's amazing, isn't it? So not only did she receive the messengers by faith, but because she believed the revelation of God that came to her, evidently by news report, because she believed the revelation of God, she did certain things like hiding the spies, receiving the spies, sending away the spies, and then obeying the spies in what they communicated to her. And she did not what? Lady, she did not perish. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but that's great faith. It is so great of a faith that the writer of the book of Hebrews singles her out in the list to show that not only did she have an enduring faith, but she did not throw away her open confession of faith in God. And that's the point of Hebrews 11. The point of Hebrews 11 is that every one of those people endured in their faith all the way to the end, and they did not throw away their open confession of faith publicly. Didn't do that. And we're not to do that. So what is Rahab's noted quality? She received God's messengers. What is her noted quality? She welcomed God's messengers. What is that which we need to place upon ourselves, ladies and mothers? You need to receive God's what? God's messengers. Now, in me saying that, I'm not saying that if I show up at your house, have a bed ready for me. But I am saying this. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians. We're going back to the New Testament, and that's where we're going to finish. We're going to finish right here in our New Testament. And we're going to look at this passage and then one more. In 1 Thessalonians, we have a group of people who had been chosen of God. We know that from chapter 1 and verse 4. The evidence of that being chosen of God was the fact that they had turned to the Lord from idols. They had believed the revelation of God about Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. So that in chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul could say that the evidence of their election was their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. That's how he knew they had been elected of God, verse 4. He says to that group of people that the gospel came to them in power. He's going to, in chapter 2, refer to how he conducted his ministry among them. He conducted his ministry as a nurse would cherish her children. Verse 7. We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherished her children. Well, how'd you do that, Paul? Well, we gave you our soul. In other words, the apostolic company gave their emotional life to that congregation. They became bound to that congregation emotionally, unioned with him. Then he says in verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 2, that not only did he treat them as a nurse or as a mother would treat a baby, but they also acted like a father. Verse 11, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you like a father does his what? His children. So was Paul gentle? Was he kind? Did he give them his heart? Yes. But he also said what? Do this. Do that. Don't do that. This is how you walk in the Lord. That's how a father does, right? So he's both. Then he says this, verse 13. For this cause also, 1 Thessalonians 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Our hearts are full of gratitude. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard, next two words, of us. You received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. That's how you know if you've received it as the word of God. Is it effectually working inside of you? But the point that I want to bring out here is this. Brethren, you and I are not going to hear a direct revelation from God. You and I are not going to hear an audible voice of God. Did Moses? Did Adam in the cool of the garden of the day? Did Eve? But what we have had are messengers, who by inspiration have penned down in our Bibles the very breath of God, the Word of God. Right? Who did this? God didn't do it on a stone. Messengers of God wrote it down. We have 66 books in our Bibles. You and I, those of us that are here, that are born again, you are born again because you believed what an apostle wrote down in your Bible. Amen? Some man got up in a pulpit or you read a tract that quoted what they wrote down and then explained it. And through that messenger, under the apostolic messenger, you came to believe. You did exactly what Rahab did. And brethren, the exhortation for us today is this, that just like Rahab's expression of genuine faith came and was shown in her reception of Israel's messengers and message, so too, what is our attitude toward the message and the messengers? What was Rahab's attitude? They're giving to me the words of God. And I want to tell you something. If God says something, we are under divine obligation to do it. Now, if you're sitting here in a pew and you're saying, well, this sounds good and, you know, I'm not sure I agree with it, or I need to go home and judge whether or not this fits into my lifestyle, and you're receiving it as the word of men. But if you'll receive it as the word of God, you might just be born again today. That'd be a great thing on Mother's Day, wouldn't it? Be even better on the Lord's Day, which is today too. And Christian, even as believing people, sometimes we kind of wander away in our attitudes about preaching. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. You are to obey what the pulpit says to the degree that what they say is in agreement with what it says. If I tell you exactly what it says, it is as if Jesus was standing here before you saying the exact same thing. Right? This isn't exalting me. I'm not telling you. I'm reading it. I'm explaining it. I'm giving it to you. What is your responsibility? To have the right attitude about it. To be like Rahab and to say, Yes, I see that. I see the mighty works of God. I realize there's one God in the heaven above and in the earth beneath. His name is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He came here to earth to be a substitute for my sin. Voluntarily, freely, out of love. Under no divine obligation because of who we are or our goodness or the fact that He created us. He walked on this earth. He earned not His righteousness, but our righteousness. He died on a cross. God imputed to Him all of our sins. How many sins do you have? It'll be more than your hands and feet. He died for the sins of the world. He was buried. And He rose again. Death could not hold Him. Death tried to hold Him. Could not hold Him. And He walked in 40 days with many infallible proofs that He was alive. He showed Himself alive at one point to over 500 people. And let me just tell you this. When you make a statement like that, and you're actually living in the days when those people are still alive, you have eyewitnesses that can say, yes, that's exactly what I saw. He's alive. And those apostles saw Him ascend up to heaven where Psalm 110 says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That's where He's at today, right? And He's waiting and He's going to come again. But right now we're at a season where the exhortation is this. Receive the messengers and receive the message. Believe it. And do you know what? If you did do that, you just might be written down in heaven in Hebrews 11 by faith. And if it really is a genuine faith, then you would give evidence of a genuine faith. What kind of evidence is? Well, in the New Testament, there's the evidence of baptism. There's evidence of church membership. There's evidence of gathering with the people of God. Right? There's evidence of the love of God. There's the evidence of the Bible working inside of you, conforming you into the image of Christ. There's the evidence of you sitting under discipling preaching. You say, boy, that's a lot. I haven't even come to list all the evidences the New Testament gives. So let me ask you this question. Are you a believer? That's a sober question, isn't it? I'm not asking you if you're going to die and go to heaven. I'm asking you, are you a believer in the revelation of God? And are there evidences that the life of God is in you? You say, well, no. Well, then you need to do what the Thessalonians did. You need to turn from your idols to the one and living God. Call on His name. What do you call? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me, cleanse me, change me, give me the rebirth that the Bible talks about. Would He do it? He certainly would do it. And brethren, as believing people, we need to make sure that our spirits are wide open to the Bible. Now, I left out one last thing. Are you ready for this? Rahab, did she believe? Was she genuinely converted? Well, she married a man named Salmon. Did you know that? And she, being a Gentile woman, is listed in the genealogy of Christ. She gave birth to Boaz. You know anything about Boaz? He's the father of David. That's pretty significant, isn't it? But are you ready for this? Not only was she the father of David all the way down, Matthew chapter 1, to Joseph, she is also listed under Mary's genealogy in the Gospel of Luke. I would say she has been honored above all mothers this day. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are grateful.